It's the Who's On First baseball show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. Good evening, sports fans, and welcome to the Who's On First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, yours truly, and his sidekick, the fanatic, Kyle Lawson. That's right. We're all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. The Coach's Corner Sports Network has five shows, three on the internet, two podcasts. Remember, every Wednesday night from about 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock, we got Rubbin' and Grubbin' with the Atlanta man, Brandon Bain, does a great job talking all NASCAR. That's at 6 o'clock. Then on Saturday mornings, from 9 to whenever, you got the coach, the Carl DeMasi Sports Report, going solo, back in the saddle again by myself, but I'll figure it out in the sound garden. And then, of course, we have the 19th hole. Three shows on the internet, Facebook, Coach's Corner Facebook page, Carl DeMasi Facebook page, and, of course, on YouTube. And, of course, the coach is always on Twitter. Two podcasts. You got to check it out. The Hot Grids podcast with Travis Jadon and Spencer Maddox. Two young guns do a great job talking everything sports in the Savannah area, talking about the Braves, the Hawks, you name it. Hey, they're pro globe, so I'll ask Kyle about that in a second. And then, of course, it's yours truly, the coach and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, on the Who's On First Base baseball podcast. Once again, so Kyle, how's it going?
Coach, good to see you. The unofficial start to the second half has happened. The All-Star game is in the books. We got a lot to talk about, and we have got a second half that is packed with a lot of divisional races. Happy to talk to you about it. We took a week off for the All-Star break the way the big leaguers do. Good to talk to you, Coach.
Hey, it's great to be back talking baseball. And, you know, if you have a Facebook page, you get those memories pop up. Our first show was back in 2017, and it was a lot of fun. We did it on another network. We went from an adult establishment every once a month, and it was great. But now we're doing this every week or as much as we can, but we love talking baseball. Here's the lineup. Four innings we play. First inning, we're talking Major League Baseball Roundup. Okay, we'll talk about the All-Star Game, Home Run Derby, trade deadline. Inning number two, Braves focus. I got a little scenario about why the Braves aren't doing so well, and I think you'll like this when I get to it.
Okay.
Tukey came back. They signed their number one draft pick, so we got to be happy about that. And then we're going to go into third inning. We're going to be peeling some bananas who made it to the NBA, the Major League Baseball. They made it to the draft, okay? Savannah Bananas got drafted. So we're going to be peeling the bananas that are going to the big show. Well, they're going to the minor league ball show. But they'll be
getting a shot. Getting a shot at going to the big time.
And then we got to go trivia. This is the 13th episode. My young man right here has me 7-3-2. This is the 13th show. So you're up 7-3 with two ties. And like I said, ties are tough, but we have to go to a tiebreaker sometime, and sometimes we don't get it right. So that's the trivia in the fourth inning. So let's kick it off. The All-Star Game. Once again, the National League. Sorry. Take it again. Once again, the American League continues its dominance in this exhibition game.
It's crazy. Eight in a row for the American League with a big 5-2 win. And I mean, the stars came out all the way around for the American League. That's 15 out of 18, Coach, dominating the Midsummer Classic. And it's funny, there were so many years. I mean, you look several decades ago, it was a National League that was running numbers all over the junior circuit, the American League. They continue to dominate the American League. And man, that was a fun game. All the way around.
I mean, I loved it. And, you know, we got, I think, I'm going to say it. I think he's probably right now the best baseball player in the game. And that's Ohtani. I mean, the kid can pitch. The kid can hit. What more do you want?
Well, that's just it. The fact of the matter is he goes out there, you know, he gets a 1-2-3 inning, and then he just goes and hits moonshots. He's on pace, you know, with his numbers like that. Who'd have thought there'd be a guy that could ever overshadow Mike Trout on his own team? You know, and it's unbelievable.
We'd have another Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth started out great. He was a pitcher. He was a hitter. But then, you know, of course, Mr. Frazee, who had to sell
Babe Ruth to the Yankees.
Where is he?
He wanted to do the what was it? The Rockettes in Radio City Music Hall. I mean,
actually, it was a Broadway play called No No Nanette, and he was losing his rear end pretty good. So, but honestly, a better comp for that, and I've listened to several experts, Double Duty Radcliffe. You got to go back to the Negro League days. Look at a guy named Ted Double Duty Radcliffe, who could win a batting title and also win the pitching title as well. That's probably a little bit closer. Babe Ruth's the first name that comes to mind. But I got to tell you, this is crazy. You're looking at a guy with a sub 4 ERA sitting around like 3.69, I think, right now, going off and hitting ridiculous power on the days he's not pitching. The guy is so much fun. And what was great was he's out there during the home run derby having fun. And, I mean, just out there showing just how hard it is to hit all those home runs. And they were some moonshots. I'm talking 500-plus.
And, you know, he only throws the ball 100 miles per hour, too. Don't forget about that, buddy.
Oh, no big deal. We'll talk about that.
So, and then we got to go to the MVP. Let's keep it in the family. Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Vladdy
becomes the youngest MVP since Ted Williams.
You know, 22 years old.
Yep.
22 years old. So Vladdy goes out there, and I mean, he's the, you know, youngest MVP. I mean, just like his pop, you know, had all those great years at the Montreal Expos and of course with the Angels as well. And I mean, he just continues to go out there and get it done. He put on quite the show as well in the home run derby, but also with that bomb that he hit in the All-Star game, easily cemented himself as the MVP. He's a joy to watch, and man, the Toronto Blue Jays are lucky to have him.
All right, let's go to our next part of inning number one, the Major League Baseball Roundup. Home run derby, I don't care what anybody says. It's better than the three-point contest. It's better than the hockey skills contest. It brings so much excitement, and the boy from New York knows how to win it. 2 years in a row, he gets $1 million 2 years in a row. That's more than he's making his regular salary.
That's just it. He's making about $600K this year. Pete Alonso, you know, and it's just he goes out there and, you know, he brings up the quote that he said, someday my signature is going to be my autograph. Well, Petey went out there and put on an absolute show. That first round, he hits 35 bombs. You know, wiped out you have to be after that round. And guess what he did? He conserved and he made it to the final round back to back. A lot of fun to watch. And, you know, he's the face of the Mets.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, you know, you had Otani against Soto, you had Perez against Alonso, you had Gallo against Story, you had Olsen against Mancini. I got to be honest with you, okay? I would have loved to see Mancini win.
Oh, me too. And I'm so glad you brought that up. I mean, you're talking about a guy that's, you know, less than 2 years removed. He's a cancer survivor, and he's
colon
going out there.
Stage three.
I'm sorry?
It was colon cancer, stage three.
Yeah, it was really scary. And when I saw that, it just like, man, for a guy that young to suffer just such a horrific disease, and he beat it. He's a fighter, and he's the face of the Baltimore Orioles. He puts on quite the show himself, and he makes it to the final round. I mean, this was a tough one. This is Rocky one. I mean, it was, I don't want no fight. I don't want no rematch here. But it was 23-22. Petey wins it, and that was just a lot of fun. And I mean, it goes back. I mean, you look at the other names that are in there. You look at Vlad, Tatis. You know, the guys you mentioned. But, I mean, I've loved it since I was a little kid, and I defy anyone to tell me that the Major League Baseball All-Star Game and its home run derby is not still the best All-Star Game weekend in American sports.
I know you weren't even a thought when the home run derby was on TV every week.
I've seen it.
I mean, I loved it. I go back and watch the reruns on YouTube. It's unbelievable. Mickey Mantle.
I went back. I saw an episode two. It's like, have you seen Mickey Mantle will be taking on Jackie Jensen of the Boston Red Sox this week?
I mean, it was great. It was great. So, and the last thing I got to say, the biggest bomb of the night was Juan Soto, 520-foot dinger.
I mean, I don't know how, and the exit velocity on that, even when that thing lands. I mean, it's an absolute rocket. And, you know, somebody managed to grab a hold of that thing. I saw that, and I'm like, well, that'll come down in a minute.
All right. So now we go to the last part of the first inning, Major League Baseball Roundup. Everybody's drooling. Everybody's wondering what's going to go on. Is your boy going somewhere? Is Gallo going to the Yankees? We got the trade deadline. So what do you think, Mr. Baseball Fanatic, guru of the trade deadline? What's your
prediction?
Well,
okay. You know, it's a lot, and it's something I hold pretty close to my heart, is my wonderful ball club has already started making some moves. But as Jock Peterson with Ronald Acuna Jr. going out for the season, but the Braves are not folding up shop right now. They're still within a winnable division. They go out and they add Jock Peterson. Not saying he's a replacement by any shape or form, but he will give, you know, some leadoff power, and he plays a pretty solid left field. And they also add Stephen Vogt to back up, you know, the catching, you know, injuries that they've had all year. Darno's still not back yet. And I got to tell you, some of the biggest rumors, we were talking about the Mets, Chris Bryant from my Chicago Cubs. This is a rental situation, but a team that has the lowest amount of offense in the National League, they have three guys that can play the position, but do they have someone of the caliber at that position that can also hit for power? And the Mets have a lot that can they can bring back and return to Chicago.
I mean, I think Jonathan Villar is having an unbelievable year.
There's no doubt.
I don't even know why they want to mess with it, but you know that's what they're doing. And you know what, Nelson Cruz, they say he might be winding up with the Athletics. I mean, he's a 41-year-old DH, but he could be valuable in there if they're going to have some kind of division run.
He's affordable. That's the big thing. Nelly can still hit. Oakland has not had any success at their DH spot this entire season. That's an easy move. I say go for it. I mean, if you're, you know.
The last one I got to ask you. Will the Yankees get the New York blood that is in Joey Gallo's body come back to New York? His father, I got to tell you, his father played at my high school.
He's an East Rockaway.
East Rockaway blood. Tony Gallo played in East Rockaway. He was 5 years older than me. He was the baseball stud. And here it is. His son, Joey Gallo, hasn't come back to New York yet, but it might happen.
You know, there is, and I actually like that comp. Texas is, there is no way they're going to advance in that division right now. And one thing the Yankees need right now, a lefty bat, especially with that short porch. Yeah, he could do some damage. If I'm Cashman, right, I say go for it.
All right, so what? Make one prediction. What's going to happen at the trade deadline? And not someone's going to be traded. I know that.
Okay, probably the biggest one. I'm going to go out. I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here, and I'd say, something I would like to see is Adam Frazier from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, that's a team in total rebuild. Nick Madrigal goes down for the Chicago White Sox at second base, and I know they're getting some depth back and guys like Louis Robert and Eloy Jimenez. You go and add him. He's also got an arbitration chip left. You have an option there. And honestly, you're going to get a pretty good return from Pittsburgh as they're going into a total rebuild. They want to sell him off as is.
All right, we're going to find out. You heard him. He's talking about Frazier. We'll see what happens. Once again, the first inning is over. We've gone the top half to the bottom half. You're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, my man, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. It's all part of the Coach's Corner Network. Don't forget, we're going to come up with what's playing in the Soundgarden, and it starts tomorrow, Kyle. Thursday, we're not going to have open mic night. We're going to have a good band coming in. So I'll get to who's coming in at Soundgarden on Thursday night right after the next inning. Second inning, Brave Focus, okay? I mean, I'm going to start with this with you. Before we get to Tuki Toussaint coming back and Ryan Cusick, you know, getting a big deal, and your man Jock coming to the Braves. I know what's wrong with the Atlanta Braves. And I'm not going to give myself credit for this. I was listening, of course, to Sports Talk Radio. I was listening to the Braves pregame show. There's no DH in the National League this year. What team last year in that 60-game schedule benefited the most from the DH? The Atlanta Braves. I agree with them wholeheartedly.
So what you're saying is you are in favor of finally going to the DH.
Universal DH. Let's do it. Hey, that might be the reason why the National League, your league, the National League, can't win any All-Star game.
You know, it very well could be. I think that's something going to happen. Purists won't like it, but I'm sorry. It's going to happen eventually. you could be on to something.
Well, we shall see. That's my prediction. Bring back the DH, and the Braves will be better than a 500 team. All right. They get Tukey back. Arm problems during spring training. He comes back the other night. Has an unbelievable night. So tell us what you thought about Tukey Toussaint.
Well, he went out there. Yeah, I mean,
and giving the Braves a shot in the arm. You know that.
Well, he needs that. I mean, seriously. I mean, that's been the biggest struggle. I mean, you get Soroka, who doesn't come back, suffers another season-ending injury. You're leaning on, you know, Freed, Morton, guys like, you know, Brad Wilson, Kyle Muller, and, you know, Gabriel Noah's still banged up. He is close. But Tukey comes back. He found some things out after getting injured. He goes down there. He gets the innings with the coaching staff in Gwinnett, goes down, pitches some great ball for the Stripers, goes up there, puts up an absolute gem over 6 2/3, strikes out 5, keeps the walks down, gets a big 2-0 win against a really tough San Diego Padres team. Good story for Tukey. The Braves are going to need him down the stretch. They want to have any hope. They're only 4.5 back right now, and I don't see them shutting up shop right now. But if they are going to find a way to make a run, Tukey needs to go out and give them some more innings. That's the thing the Braves truly need.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, the Braves farm system will go to the other side. The Braves farm system is always strong. They have now signed 18 of their 20 draft picks in less than a week. In less than a week. And they signed Ryan Cusick. So what do you think about that whole thing?
Well, I like that. And the fact they were able to get him, they got him for under slot money, you know, and it's a, you know, pretty good amount of shekels for this young man. He gets there in the with the first round pick, $2.7 million signing bonus. He's ready to get started. They're going to send him to rookie ball instructs and see what they can do. And hopefully some good things for Ryan Cusick. I was really happy to see that he signed early, but I was more happy to see 18 of 20 guys signed. And the Braves, you know, are ready to get these guys go in the system. And the farm director, big fan of everything they do in the Braves system. They're going to get these guys to work. A lot of guys are going to go to rookie balls, maybe end up in Danville at the end of the year. And they'll be ready for instructional ball here in November.
All right. Well, give us your rundown. You know Jock Peterson better than anybody. Was it a good acquire by the Braves?
It's a depth move. He can hit leadoff. He's got power. And he's a good guy in the clubhouse, a guy that's got, you know, he's been to the dance. He's got his ring. He played a really solid left field for the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs decided to part ways with Kyle Schwarber as he goes on to play for the Nationals. They pick up Jock Peterson, who bets on himself with on a one-year prove-it deal, and he ends up going to a team that's still in contention. And now the Cubs have basically the same record as the Braves, but that's two teams that are on opposite sides of the spectrum as far as where they are with their ball clubs. Now, he's not going to replace Ronald Acuna, but he's going to give you a solid at-bat. He gets on base. He's a good guy in the clubhouse, and he's going to play some solid left field. Good depth move.
And, you know, I wanted to talk about that. We didn't talk about Ronald before the All-Star break. We didn't do a show. I mean, such a great player. I mean, ACL, I think he's going to bounce back, and I think he'll be stronger.
He will bounce back. I mean, it's one of the most common injuries for, you know, position players in baseball. And the thing is, he goes down for the year, but thank goodness he goes down at this point in his career. You know, let's say he's 28, 29. That's rough. Let's say the Braves are in the, you know, middle of a, you know, pennant race, and I'm not saying they're not right now. But let's get this cleaned up right now. Let's get him rehab. Let's get him ready. Probably not start of the season. We know how long this is going to take, but he will be ready for 2022. But the Braves are not, they're not going to fold their cards right now. They still think they can find a way to come back and try to win this division. It's still a weak division because the Mets do not score a lot of runs.
All right. We got less than 2 minutes to go here in this second inning, which is great. All right, we know Byron Buxton's on the line. Bryant's on the line. Gallo, Buras, Kimbrel, Story, Cruz, Marte. Are the Braves going to land any of those big names? I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not. I think, I mean, based on, you know, everything I've looked for, you know, I read Mark Bowman all the time. He's covered the Braves for years. I don't think they're going to make any huge splashes. I think they're really banking on trying to get some of the depth that they have back of some of the players that are currently injured right now. Alex Jackson came back. Travis d'Arnaud's on his way. I really hope we can at least get a month of Ian Anderson. He's still banged up. There's no timetable right now. He's probably going to go to Gwinnett, you know, or Mississippi to try to, you know, get everything cleaned up there. But I think they're going to go close to the vest. A rumor that I heard, and, you know, it was just, you know, in, you know, your top 10, hey, movable pieces that you find on MLB.com. Would you consider making a move, you know, for a guy like Starling Marte, interdivisional player? He's a rental.
Right.
Is that something you would consider doing? Do you think you can go deep into October if you have to mortgage a little bit of your farm system? I don't.
It all depends on what the brass, Anthropoulos, right? That's his name, right?
Anthropoulos. Yeah, a Greek fella.
He's known to be a good general manager. He knows that have got
he's a very good general manager.
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't sell my farm system yet. I think Marte's not going to come in and be an impact, major impact player. The Braves have to just get, like we said 2 weeks ago in episode 12, they just have to get some consistency. They have to get on a winning streak.
And get healthy.
So, no, I wouldn't do it yet. I don't think they're out of it, like you just said. It's a weak division. Mets aren't, blowing anybody out of the water.
They're still about
4 games out, 5 games out.
4.5. 4.5 easy. They're going to have several series coming down the line. I say they make a couple – they see they make a couple of incremental moves here and there, but I don't see them to go and make a big splash this year. It's not ready to pull that trigger.
No, I don't think so either. But, you know, remember, they got a big 5-game series with a doubleheader thrown in there against the Mets. All right, that's the end of inning number 2. You're out of here, okay? So, once again, you're listening to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the Baseball Fanatic, brought to you by Coach's Corner, where it's all sports, all the time. It's food. What is it? Food fun. What's the saying again? It's all food fun since 1991. So, check out Coach's Corner. Go to coachescorner.net.
Food and fun since 1991.
There you go. We had to get that voice in there. Okay, let's stay locally. We could not get a Savannah Bananas guest, so inning number 3 is
on the road.
Well, it's usually we have to juggle it because our guests come on early, but we always save inning number 3 for the Bananas, the Savannah Bananas. They're 29-6. They're 1 game up in the second half. They already won the first half. They've had a couple of bumps in the road this half. Players are starting back to go to college or leaving, but you're a Coastal Plain League team. You're not the Cape Cod League, but when you peel 8 bananas to go to the Major League or get drafted in the Major League Baseball draft, you got something special going on there. It's not just the entertainment, you know, fan first entertainment. We got to dance, we got to sing, we got to throw bananas down your pants. Oh, I didn't say that. But anyway, you put a good product as far as baseball goes too, Kyle.
That's the bottom line. It's you get everything, you know, when you come into the CPL and especially with the Savannah Bananas. But ultimately, it's to develop these young collegiate ball players with a chance to go to the next level. And like you said, 8, 1 current, 7 former have been drafted this year. 50 players from the Coastal Plains League around the league have been selected in this year's Major League Baseball draft. That's showing, no pun intended, that it is bearing fruit.
Bearing fruit, bearing fish, bearing burgers, you want to name it. That's what the Coastal Plain League does.
Yeah, there's a lot of food names in the league. We've established that.
Oh, that's why it's always a food fight when you go to a Coastal Plain League game. All right. So we had Jason Ruvkorn, 2018 Banana. Dustin Sanez, 2019. Aston Schultz, 2019. Daniel Lord, 2019. Cade Povich, 2020. Logan Workman, 2020. Josh Crouch, 2020. Tristan Peters, 2021.
There's your current manner.
I mean, he was the next banana. He was selected by the Milwaukee Brewers. He's from Canada in the 7th round. Started his college career at Chandler Gilbert College in Chandler, Arizona. But, I mean, you know, he was a National Junior College Golden Glove player in center field. Tristan took his talents to the Southern Illinois, where last year he raked. I love that when you say rake when someone's a bat. He raked a .355 batting average, 50 RBI, not RBIs, it's RBI, and 53 runs scored in 60 games. Tell me that ain't a prospect.
That is. And, I mean, a lot of prospects come out to Grayson Stadium. Now, you mentioned Mr. Povich a little bit earlier. He was selected the highest, actually, of all.
Right.
He was selected in the third round by the Minnesota Twins, and great connection. And this is a guy that manager Tyler Gillum knows a lot about. He started his career at South Mountain College, you know, played there for 2 years, and he went there, and then he got, you know, a scholarship to finish the last 2 years playing at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. And I just think it's great. I mean, he's a good manager. I mean, everybody knows about all the great work that Tyler's doing, but he's developing ball players. Yep. He does it at the collegiate level, and he's doing it in the summer league level. These guys are getting a chance to shine. And I guarantee you, one of these days, we're going to see a banana, a former banana, in the show.
I can't wait to see it because, you know, that's what made it fun when the team that jumped ship on the Savannah Sandnats, you know, are now in the major leagues, you know, like Brandon Nimmo and the rest of the gang. And, of course, Mr. Rojas coaching the Mets now, too. So it's
fun. How about it?
How about it? Okay, so that's your Savannah Bananas update. Eight players drafted going to the MLB, going to the minor leagues before they get to the big show, the MLB. But it's exciting that we got to watch these guys here in Savannah, Georgia. So
we did.
We wish them the best of luck. And, yes, every game is sold out to the end of the year. August 1st, we'll have our first Coastal Plain League playoff game, which will be held at historic Grayson Stadium. Can't wait to see it. Okay, once again, inning number three is in the dugout. Now we got to go to inning number four. You're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl Namasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And it's brought to them by who, Kyle?
The Coach's Corner Sports Network.
There we go. And we'll get to who's playing in the Soundgarden after we do our fourth inning, which is trivia. I'm putting a little heat on this guy. He won 17 consecutive shows. He won every trivia. Well, you know what? This year it's different. It's 7-3-2. He's won 7, lost 3, tied 2. The coach is getting close. The coach is getting on his tail. It's time for Who's on First Base Baseball Trivia. We do two questions, okay? If it's a tie, we go to the third one to do the tiebreaker, or we just leave it out as a tie. Okay, you're up first because I was up first last one. I'm going with the man that everybody is honoring this year. He wore number 44 for the Atlanta Braves. I'm doing a little Hank Aaron trivia for you, buddy.
Ooh, I see.
Okay, let's see how good you are. What major league team purchased Aaron's contract from the Negro Leagues?
The Boston Braves.
Okay, I should have said this. I should have said the Boston Braves drafted him or bought his contract. Who was the other team that also offered him?
Ooh, that also offered him a contract. Ooh, I think Brooklyn offered him a contract.
The New York Giants.
Oh, the Giants. All right. Well, anyway, I'll take that.
Giants. They didn't jump out to San Fran. They didn't go to the left coast. Oh, sorry. They didn't go to the West Coast.
It's the same thing.
Okay. All right, so you're up 1-0. Go ahead. I'm ready. Bottom of the first. I'm down 1-0. Okay.
All right. All-Star break. Traditionally considered to be the meeting, you know, the middle point of the season. Name the only team at midseason that was in dead last place to come back, finish in first, and win the World Series.
It might have to be the amazing Mets, the New York Mets.
Incorrect.
Incorrect.
The Mets were not in last place in 1969. You got to go back into hallowed antiquity here, my friend. 1914, the Boston Braves. The Miracle Braves, as they were called.
I'll take the amazing Mets.
I knew you were going to go Mets on that.
All right. So here we go. Second inning. I'm down 1-0. Okay. So what famous hitter broke his ankle in spring training in 1954 that gave Hank Aaron a spot in the starting lineup for the Braves.
Ooh, 1954?
1954. I'm giving you the year.
Ooh, okay. Outfielder.
We know Lou Gehrig replaced Wally Pipp.
Who did
Hank Aaron replace?
Ooh. Joe Adcock.
Good try. But he was the guy that hit the shot heard around the world.
Bobby Thompson.
Bobby Thompson off of what?
All right. Good question. That was a good one.
Ralph Branca. He hit it off of Ralph Branca, but he broke his ankle in spring training in 54, and good old Hammer and Hank Aaron got his start with the Braves. All right. So it's still 1-0, bottom of the second. I don't get this. You win.
Okay. Now.
You're trying to find the hardest one on your sheet. I know.
No, not really. This is one I was going to ask anyway, because we were you wanted to go Hank Aaron. I'm still thinking a little bit of All-Star game, and I like that. There have been multiple MVPs in the All-Star game, four of them. Can you name me two? Keep in mind, one of them's from your childhood, the other your teen years, and then we get a little bit more recent. And by recent, I mean into the 80s and 90s. I think that's pretty fair.
Oh, man, who can I think of? My teen years, and then as I got a little older, they won more than one MVP.
Yeah, 1-2. Yeah.
They have 1-2.
Yeah, they have to have won multiple. They've won two. Only there have been four players that have won
And everybody's two. Done it since the 60s.
I was about to say, I'll give you the range. From the 60s to the early 90s. That's it.
The 60s to the early 90s. I have no clue on this, and it's going to be a loss for me. But I'm going to say Reggie Jackson, because I know he hit that bomb when he was at Oakland.
71.
Right. The other one, I have to go with the crazy man himself, Pete Rose.
No, you know what? Good guesses. I'll give you that. It was Willie Mays. Steve Garvey 1-2. The Kid, Gary Carter 1-2. And Cal Ripken Jr.
Willie Mays. I should have known that because he's one of my favorite baseball players.
So fly the W.
Fly the W for you. So now you're up 3-2. And the W goes, of course, it should go to him. He is the baseball fanatic. So, but I did stump him on one question, so I'm proud of
you. Dude, that was a good question. That is a very good question. And the bad thing is, I know where Bobby Thompson ended up after that. He ended up getting shipped off to the 55 Cubs, where we were terrible. Of course I know that.
The 55 Cubs. All right, so let's see what's going on at Coach's Corner this week.
Soundgarden, do it.
Great job. The baseball fanatic now gets the big W. He's going to fly that Cubby W flag in his room, okay? You probably got that on your bed. Probably that's your quilt or something. But anyway.
No, my wonderful girlfriend wouldn't have that. In fact, my house looks like a gift shop as it is, and we're going to have some spaghetti after this. So we're good.
Okay. I'll make it quick then. You got the spaghetti going. Okay. We're starting Thursday night. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in the Soundgarden, we have live music. Tuesday through Saturday, there's breakfast at Coach's Corner. Tuesday through Friday from 7:30 to 10:30. Sorry, let me take that back. From 7 to 10:30. You can get breakfast Tuesday through Friday. And on Saturdays from 8 o'clock to 10:30, you get breakfast at Coach's Corner. Go try it. Shrimp and grits was delicious. You got country steak. You got the home fries. You got to do some breakfast at Coach's Corner, okay? Have a little cup of Java or, have some coffee for me, okay?
Have a coffee.
Okay, you got the coffee, okay? So who's in the Soundgarden starting tomorrow night? I mean, this is it's called 25K, 25 Grand Magic, and it's the world's number one Bruno Mars cover band. I don't have to tell you. You probably know that it's Bruno Mars, right?
Yeah, he's good.
Friday night, we got the Fractions. And then Saturday, it's got to be always Chicago, Chicago, Chicago on this show. We have the Chicago Authority.
25-2-6-2-4.
So once again, 24 Grand Magic tomorrow night, the world's number one Bruno Mars cover band. Then on Friday night, we have the Fractions. And then on Saturday night, Chicago Authority. Well, Kyle, it's always a lot of fun. Like I said, every week, whatever you're doing today, tomorrow, Saturday, or if you go to the Soundgarden, always hit it out of the park. And until next week, when we talk some baseball again, may it be your best week ever.
Great to see you, Coach. Great show. We'll catch you next time, folks.
And we'll be back. And like we like to say, the two best words in the world is play ball. God bless. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good week.